Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. I am your host, Jester Dooms. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. Time is 21:09. For you, it is Wednesday. Hopefully sometime in the morning, maybe you're on your way to work, you're having your coffee, eating a donut, getting ready to tell your boss, go fuck yourself. But remember, it is hump day. You're halfway there. You're almost to the end of the week. Just get through it. I know it's a drag. I know it's a bitch. And I know it's also the first of the month. So you got some bills due, you know, probably. Or maybe you're one of these lucky fuckers that gets paid on the first of the month. And you're like, yeah, I'm getting a check. All right. Either way, enjoy it. Enjoy yourself. My day was a fairly good day. I can't complain. However, I did not sleep too great last night. I don't know what it was. My shoulder was driving me nuts, and I don't usually have any kind of, like, shoulder-esque pains, so I don't know why that was happening, but it was like every time I rolled over, I was like, oh my god, this is annoying me, and I had to roll back over, and then I wasn't comfortable, and I'd roll back over, and I was like, oh my god, this is annoying again, so I'd roll back over, and I talked to my boss, he's like, I didn't sleep for shit last night, I was like, me either, and then my coworker walked in, and I was like, dude, how'd you sleep last night? He's like, I didn't sleep for shit, and I'm like, me either. I don't know if it's something in the air. I don't know if it's these weird, crazy storm patterns that are happening. I don't know, but none of us slept good last night. So I kind of drug through the day a little bit. And it's weird because I went to bed relatively early. I had to study for a test I have to take for work. So, I mean, I studied for a little bit for that. And then I decided, like, I'm just going to bed. Got a shower, went to bed. Didn't drink, didn't stay up late watching any streaming services, like, I should have slept good, but I did not, unfortunately. Anyway, work was good today. You know, I can't discuss anything that really happens at work due to HIPAA things. But I will say this, guys. You know, be there for your loved ones, if possible. I mean, I understand we get busy with work and, you know, there's things that go on that just kind of, you know, take front and center focus from us and we don't see what other people are going through. Be there for your loved ones in their time of need. Just do that. And remember, their problems are their problems, and your problems are your problems. And that's a lot of our mentality across the board, but that doesn't mean their problems aren't important, and it doesn't mean that they don't need you. You get what I'm saying? They might be hurting more than what you know, and they might actually need you. So to get in to something a little bit on that tangent of just, you know, dealing with day-to-day life here, I've been seeing a trend of this, and that's going to be one of the topics we cover tonight is, you know, what are true friends? You know, anyway, so to speak. So anyway, had a little bit of an adventure this afternoon after work, came home, got a shower, and I honestly thought that we were going to get a little bit of break on the wee-woo wagon today, and we were going to be able to go to Chick-fil-A, because I really want to try the new chicken strips. I really wanted to do that. We didn't get to do that, so I had like a protein bar and kept on trucking. So when I got off work tonight, I told my wife, she's like, you know, what are we going to do for dinner? And I was like, well, let's go to Chick-fil-A because I want to go to Sam's Club and we don't have one in the area. And this requires a bit of a drive. However, we pass a Chick-fil-A on the way there. So I was like, let's go to Chick-fil-A and go to Sam's Club. And I wanted to go buy a bunch of bulk chicken breasts. That's the main reason we went there. So we go to Chick-fil-A. I get the chicken strips, and then I get the harvest salad thing that I always get, and it was really good. The chicken strips are good. I really don't have any complaints about the chicken strips, although I will say this, Popeyes still has them beat. I mean, in my opinion, Popeyes has the best chicken strips. I mean, you know, that's what it is to me anyway, but they weren't bad. Definitely good. I would get them again. 100% for sure. And I would totally take those over the nuggets that they sell any day of the week just because they're more meatier. And because they're thicker, I think they cook them a little bit longer. So you get more of a crunch factor from the outside, so I would definitely get the Chick-fil-A chicken strips again. So if you're hesitant about going there and trying them, just go try them. And for the record, Chick-fil-A is one of the only like fast food establishments that I'll eat at. That is like the only one. You will not see me touch McDonald's. You will not see me touch Burger King, Wendy's, any of those places. You may catch me at Hardee's every once in a while grabbing some chicken strips. You'll definitely catch me at Popeye's every once in a while grabbing some chicken strips, but that's it. I don't do the bread. I don't do the burgers. I don't do any of that. Number one, it's against the blood type based diet. Number two, that's not real food. Okay. But a chicken strip is a chicken strip. And you know, if I'm out and I'm hungry and I need some protein, I need some sustenance, I will get the chicken strips. So we go to Sam's Club and a little bit of an adventure happens in there. My wife and I walk in the door. We present our Sam's Club membership card. We're walking through the store. We go to check out. The card is gone. It's just not there. She's like, it's not in my purse. Maybe it fell out of my pocket. So it's literally 4 minutes to close. They're calling the announcement. And I'm like, okay, here's the plan. You go to customer service. You get a temporary card made. I'll go run through the store frantically. Okay. And I did. Me and Little Dooms were running through the store looking for this card. I retrace all of our steps through the store. I find it right as she's calling me saying, hey, don't worry about it. I got a new card made. And I'm like, well, shit, I just picked it up, but okay. All right. So I found it. I was on the floor, kind of where the toothpaste area is. So I go rush it up there and I just like shout like, woo, or some stupid shit I did. And she's like, you found it? And I'm like, yeah, I found it. And she's like, well, we got a new one now. I was like, yeah, but it was the mission. Like it was a challenge and it became fun for me and Little Dooms to go search out this missing Sam's Club card. There's like never a dull moment. And like, for me, that's fun. Like, this is a search and rescue operation for the Sam's Club card. We're going to go find it. So tracked it down, but got a new one anyway, drove back and got some gas. Now I'm home sitting in the tundra recording the Doom Daily Show. Certain things like that become exciting in life. And I know most people would look at that as a hassle and they would be like, just get a new one. And that is the problem with society, this disposable society that we live in, which we're going to talk about that on the show tonight, right after these messages.
Want to advertise on the Doom Daily Show? Send producer Scooter an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. And this 15-second ad slot could be yours.
Welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. I am your host, Jester motherfucking Dooms, and email doomdailyshow@gmail.com. So, disposable society, let's discuss this. As we're going through the store in Sam's Club, the one guy at the front desk said, you know, you can just get a new one made, right? Yeah, I know. Go to customer service. You just want us to make you a new one? No, I want to find it. Everybody said, just get a new one. And I'm like, okay, I get it. It's a card. You could have it made, but it already exists and it's here somewhere. Like, where is the effort within people to get up off their asses and try? Where did that drive disappear to? And I understand it's totally easy to make one. And that's what my wife ended up doing because we couldn't find that particular card. But we live in such a disposable society anymore. It drives me insane. We, you know, back in the day, $100 purchase was a big deal. It was a very big deal to spend $100 on something. I remember being a kid and me and my buddy, we were like saving up to buy paintball guns. Cause I asked my mom like, hey, can I get a paintball gun? She says, no, absolutely not. If you want a paintball gun, you're going to have to buy that with your own money. And I said, well, okay, I'll start saving then. And I did. And my buddy started saving too. And what we did was we got these old, they were either Jim Beam or Jack Daniels bottles that we found in the woods. And we cleaned them out. And what we figured was we have a long neck bottle. We could stick dollar bills in. There's no way to get them back out, right? We'll have to break this thing open and take the money when we feel like we accumulated enough money, right? So that's what we did. We saved up and then eventually we smashed those bottles and we bought ourselves paintball guns. And back then, a decent paintball gun that you could buy at Walmart, and yes, they were selling them at Walmart back then, was maybe about, $80 to $100, maybe $120. And that was something we had to save up for. Now we piss away $100 a week into the gas tank. That's a third of most people's power bills, if you're lucky. That far, we have phone bills that are over that cost. Some of us pay more than that a month for streaming services when you start adding them all up, right? Some of us pay that much in overdraft fees just to keep affording this disposable shit that we don't need. And I think it's so funny how we pay a lot of money for petroleum-based products. Heating oil, gasoline, and diesel fuel are highly expensive in America. Actually, they're not. They're pretty cheap compared to other countries. But isn't it funny how much we pay for petroleum-based products for things you actually need every day and the incidental things you don't, you get for free? And I'll prove it. Can anybody out there tell me what a grocery bag costs? Nope, but they're made out of petroleum products and you get them for free. Can anybody tell me what the straw in your drink costs? No, but you get those for free. Can anybody tell me what the packing peanuts in your Amazon package costs? No, because you get those for free. Can anybody tell me what the cellophane costs on a cigarette wrapper or what the little plastic can is that your dip comes in? What does that cost? No, you can't. Why? Because you get it for free. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how many petroleum products you get for free if they're just incidental, if they're not something you actually need to function? Isn't that crazy? But yet we pay so much at the pump. Isn't that wild? We pay so much at the pump that they're willing to give us some of these petroleum products for free. Let that sink in. And then I want you to start thinking about the things you throw away every day that are plastic. Water bottles, soda bottles, the dip cans, the cigarette cellophane, the straw, maybe the cup that you were using with the straw, right? I mean, the list goes on and on. We could spend a day going through our homes on what we throw away. The styrofoam that the chicken came in. The plastic wrap on the outside of that chicken. I mean, it goes on and on. The baggies we put our sandwiches in. Maybe the bag your weed comes in. I don't know. But it's never ending. Okay? And this is all free. And I know that there's some of you out there saying that, well, Jester, these companies ultimately pay for it and they just deduct it from the cost and blah, blah, blah. And you're right. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that cost is so incidental that they don't charge you for it. And before you say, well, Jester, but they are charging you for it. You can go through McDonald's and you can get a free ice water that comes with a straw. You can go through the drive-thru and say, hey, let me get a handful of straws. Or, hey, let me get some of that extra sauce. Like, trust me, they're giving you shit for free. Is the cost being eaten somewhere? Yeah, but it's such a minuscule amount that they don't care. They don't give a shit. But what's really funny is how the disposable items is what keeps this country moving, and that's where we came to. And I'm not even getting into the larger products. When I was growing up, we bought our first computer for the house. And this computer was $2,000. It was this big, giant expense. And today I look at $2,000. If I'm spending $2,000, like, I really got to think through that purchase. Like, am I going to really spend $2,000 on this fucking thing? And typically the answer is no, I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable spending that much money on this and I walk away from it. But we spent $2,000 on a computer for the house. That computer is in a landfill somewhere now. It is gonzo. It became obsolete within a few years of ownership. There was better shit out that was cheaper, and that computer is gone. And now, I have a phone in my pocket that is less than that $2,000 computer that could do 100 more times the thing and process so much more data and has a bigger CPU and processor and all these things in my pocket for half the money. All right? And we're accustomed to this now. So I now have, like, to take this into example, $2,000 computer back in the day. Big purchase. Think it's going to be a one-time thing. You'll never need another one again. I have a badass desktop at the studio that is probably now obsolete with a giant 75-inch monitor. Okay. And that's at the studio. At the restaurant, I have a shitty little desktop that needs to be redone. Okay. I have a laptop in my shed that doesn't work. And I've got two laptops in the house, along with an old laptop my wife doesn't use anymore and her new one she's got. Plus, we got all these smartphones and devices and shit. And we all pay a lot of money for these things. And we all know in a very short window of time, they're going to be done. And why? When did we become okay with spending $1,000 on something that's going to last us 2 years and then we're going to throw it away? When did this happen? When did we come this disposable society? So as everybody else is running around saying, oh, you could just get a new card made, I'm thinking, yeah, but do I really need to if it's here? And that's the mentality that people need to have. When it costs more to repair an item than it is to buy a new one, that's telling you there's a big fucking problem in this country that we live in. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. I am your host, Jester Dooms. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Okay, so I really wanted to touch on, you know, true friendship and what that looks like, what that is, because some people have a very skewed view. And I've had a lot of friends over the years, and now being the age that I am and being a bit older and have moving around the country and doing different things and working different jobs and everything else, I've come to find there's only a handful of like good friends that I actually have, people that I could call like a true friend that actually has my back and then would actually be there for me if I needed them or will actually answer the phone for me or whatever, right? And here's, and it's like the older you get, the more you notice these things, okay? So what's a true friend? A true friend is somebody that will talk shit to your face and not behind your back, number one. They're going to tell you exactly what's on their mind to your face. They are going to be brutally 100% honest with you at all times. That is the number one truest sign of friendship. That friend is enough of a friend to you and they care enough about you to not sugarcoat a goddamn thing. All right? And I've had friends that have appreciated this, and I've had friends that hated this because they didn't like to be told about themselves. Okay, fine, dude. If you want to live in fucking fantasy land, dude, live in fantasy land. That's up to you. But that is your number one true sign of a friend. The other true sign of a friend is they will prioritize your needs over their own needs. That's another true sign of a good friend. And there are people that are desperate for friendships, so that could kind of be in disguise as well. So you have to be really careful like what those intentions are and how they're presenting themselves and what they're doing with that. And when I say your needs over theirs, like what I mean by that is, if you see a guy like, hey dude, well, you know, my family needed my help this week, but fuck them, I'll come help you instead. That's a fake friend. That's somebody who is trying to earn friendship because they have nobody. That's what that is. Because if you've already made an obligation, all right, if that person's already made an obligation to somebody and they're willing to burn somebody else for you, that means people are disposable in their lives and they will assume burn you too when something bigger and better is coming along. Now, a good friend, when I say prioritize, will say, so say Grizz calls me and Grizz is like, hey, Jester, dude, look, man, I'm moving from my house to another house. And, dude, I got nobody where I live. What would it take for you to get down here for a weekend to help me move? And I would say, Grizz, dude, just fucking feed me, man. Like, just feed me, dude. Well, what about gas? Dude, I got the gas. Just feed me. Just make sure we got shit to eat and plan something fun to do, man, because I don't want to be moving the whole time I'm coming to visit. Like, plan something for us to do. And he'd be like, okay, and he'd give me the dates. Dude, I'm moving May 28th. It's the start of the move. I got to be out of here. I got to be out of this place by May 30th. I'd say, all right, dude. All right, we'll make it happen. You need me to bring a trailer? Do I have to drive a U-Haul? Like, what do I got to do here? You know, let me know. And we would get it figured out. Now, this is what makes me a true friend in that moment. I would write that down. I would put it on my action item list. I would put it on the calendar. And if anybody came to me and said, hey, Dooms, you know, this weekend, you know, 29th to the 30th, there's this party. Do you want to go to it? My automatic go-to would be, no, I can't. I'm helping a friend move. I can't be there. Or if my boss said, hey, dude, we're shorthanded. We need you to work. I said, I can't, man. I made a prior obligation. You know, unless a family member is sick or dying or in the hospital or something, I'm there for you, dude. I gave you my word I would be there, and I'm going to prioritize everything. You know, your priorities are going to become my priority, and I'm going to put that above all else because I made a commitment to you, because that's what real friends do, right? Real friends don't shit the bed on you. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to read between the lines, because the guy that's like, oh, yeah, I could fuck everybody over and come do stuff with you, that's not the right guy. The right guy is the one you make the plans with, and he makes sure to prioritize those plans unless it's dire circumstance. That's the right guy. Also, let's talk about honesty in a friendship, okay? Now, people are known to tell some white lies, and they're known to basically bend and flex the truth. But if you find a friend lying to you in any capacity for some sort of gain outside of that friendship, that's a big fucking red flag that you should not associate with this person, okay? Another thing I've learned about friends over the years is the more they talk up how awesome they are, the more they fucking suck. That's what it is. Like, if you meet somebody and they're like, yeah, I'm a good guy, I'd never do that. Oh, that's the first guy that fucking would. It absolutely is. Because if he's trying to sell you on the idea that he's awesome, it's because he knows he sucks so bad, he's preemptively striking to get you to buy into his bullshit. You see what I'm saying? Is anybody else picking up what I'm putting down? I fucking hope so, because that's the end of the segment. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to The Doom Daily Show.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. I wanted to get into a little bit of a story from today, and just to kind of give you guys an idea where things are going. This is not a Bitcoin thing, but it's going to maybe sound like it. And I hate Bitcoin. I absolutely can't stand it. Don't like it. I don't recommend getting involved in it. I don't. I think the time has came and gone. If you didn't get in early, it's not worth getting in now, period. End of story, done. We're moving on. So I don't use traditional in-person banks. And I know that sounds very odd coming from me, someone that would prefer to deal with people in society and doesn't like the big tech and all that stuff. But there's a very simple reason why. They keep shutting down branches. And every time I get a new bank, they like shut it down. And I'm like, geez. And they're like, oh, you could drive an hour to this location. And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. I guess I'll just close my account and move on. So this originally started happening to me back when Bank of America said it, you know, they put out that statement saying that they weren't going to loan money to gun manufacturers anymore. And I was like, okay, I got you. I see you, Bank of America. You know what I did? You know what Dooms did? This is what Dooms did. I went out, I had a Bank of America checking, savings, and credit card. Okay. They released that statement, and then they said they're shutting down the branch in my area. And I was like, okay. And they said, well, you could drive an hour to the next one. I said, no, I can't. So I was like, let me close my checking and savings. And they're like, okay, those are closed. I was like, okay. They said, do you want to close your credit card? I was like, no. I said, well, it has a zero balance. You could close it. I said, I know it does. I go out, I buy a $900 revolver. Didn't really need it. It was more of a want than a need kind of thing. And I bought it. And I never fucking paid that bill. They said, we're going to close this credit card because you're not paying this bill. I said, that's cool. They said, well, do you plan on paying it? No. Well, it's going to hit your credit. I don't care. I'll dispute it. And they said, well, you're not worried about your credit? I said, no. Mm-mm. What if you need to get a mortgage? I own a house that's paid off. Well, what if you want to get a car loan? I already got a car. By the time my car's paid off, that'll be off my credit. You don't scare me. So that was my stab back to Bank of America. Well, you're going to ban loaning money to gun manufacturers. I'm going to support them by buying a gun using your money. And then I'm never going to pay that money. And it dinged my credit for like 2 months. I disputed it. It's gone. Boo fucking who. Oh, fucking well. Right. And, you know, and I know that's something very small, but that was my like kickback to, you know, I use this bank. I don't fucking support the idea that you don't want to loan money to gun manufacturers. I don't like that. I don't support that. So you're going to buy me a gun so we can support them together using your money. That's what we're going to do. And we did. Thank you, Bank of America, for buying me a nice, shiny new revolver. Anyway, so I go into the bank today and I'm like, yeah, I want to open an account with this one bank I keep hearing these good things about. And the guy says, well, we can do that, but they're shutting this location down in a year, basically. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me, dude. He's like, yeah, the next location's going to be about an hour away, though. I was like, you know, we're good. We're good. We're okay. But the thing about it is, I ended up opening another account with another bank that isn't getting shut down and not going away. So that's how we tackled that. But you got to understand something. The day and age of technology we're moving into, everything is becoming digital and there is no escaping it. So I know this may sound stupid and I know this may sound a little bit like kind of out there, but guys, stop supporting the big banks and start supporting the little guys. Okay? Support that bank that is going to be there for you when you need them. Look, Bank of America was so insulting the way they shut down. Because it was like, we're done. You're screwed. If you want to deal with us, you can drive for our services. And I was like, I cannot. So after they shut down and everybody in town basically closed out their Bank of America accounts because they weren't willing to do the drive anymore, you know what these cocksuckers did? They decided to put a pop-up ATM in our town because they realized after they shut down that brick and mortar facility that their numbers dropped. And they figured putting out a standalone ATM that you could drive up to would be good enough. Nobody uses that fucking thing because everybody shut down their accounts. And it's like, what kind of idiots do you have running this bank to where you thought it would be a good idea to shut down and screw over all these people in this town and then go ahead and open up a pop-up ATM like they'd come back to you after that. After you've made them drive all this way to shut down accounts and do their banking? Are you fucking kidding me? That is insane to me. That they even thought that that would work. But you know who's not doing that? The smaller banks. The ones that aren't huge. Like your local to the area banks. Start using those. Fuck these big corporations. Fuck them. They do not give a shit about you. They take your money. They charge you these goddamn overdraft fees. They do all this bullshit to you. And you just tolerate it. You know, and why do you tolerate it? Because there's an ATM everywhere? Who fucking cares? I'd rather pay a $2, $3, $4 fee to get my money out. Maybe once in a blue moon if I need cash. Versus dealing with some big corporation bank that I can't fucking stand. I will gladly pay that fee to not support that business. Right? And I'm sorry, but you know, it really kills me how reversed these interest rates are. Like interest rates on credit cards are disgusting. And what you make on interest when they're holding your money is bullshit. You're going to charge me 10% interest to buy something on a credit card, and then I'm going to put money in your bank that you're holding on to, and I'm going to get 2%, 3%, maybe 4.30 at best? Come the fuck on. How is this at all fair? I have credit cards with zero balances that I don't really use. They're there for an emergency. Every once in a while, I'll make a purchase just so they stay active and open. I'll pay a yearly fee if one so exists, like an annual fee, and then I'm done with it. Okay? They stay open with a zero balance. That way, if there's an emergency, it's fucking handled. I don't have a damn thing to worry about. Okay? It's that simple. But yet we've all derived this mentality that is very, very goofy to me, where we're willing to accept this. Instead of paying the bank the interest, just save up for the shit that you want. I see people putting cheeseburgers on credit cards, guys. They'll go through McDonald's and they'll use a credit card and they'll pay interest on something that they've already turned into shit. Think about that. You roll through McDonald's. Let me get a Big Mac meal. Okay, here's your Big Mac meal. Here it is. You scoff it down. It's gone. You turn it to the poo. Tomorrow, you shit it out. It hits your account. Now you're paying interest on the shit. You see what I'm saying? We have a big problem in this country with living outside of our means. They've put it in your head that it is okay to be in debt, and it's flat out not. There is nothing good about being in debt. You know what's really good to have is negative debt. Available balances, with home equity lines of credit, maybe that you're not using. You know, maybe a bunch of credit cards with a zero balance on them. Maybe a vehicle that's paid off that, depending on where you live, you can get a title loan if need be to cover something big or major. People do dumb shit. We as a society, Americans are really good at fucking one another over. Like, it's like a skill set we have. Like, how bad can I screw the guy next to you? We do that in this country, and it's disgusting to me. Anyway, enjoy your Wednesday. Have a good day at work. We will catch you guys tomorrow on Thursday. All right? So be good. Stay out of trouble. Produce a scooter. I love you, babe.
Right back at you, big guy.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.